This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
If you could take one guy to an island with you and you knew you'd be safe because he was the best man, he was going to keep you happy, if it was between me and your father, who would you take?
My daddy.
I don't think you're wrong about that. Hello, this is Lee.
What happened to my brother? So that's Lee Chen, huh?
I don't understand.
Which part are you having trouble with?
Well, I can't be his guardian.
Well, your brother provided for your nephew's upkeep. I think the idea was that you would relocate.
Relocate to where?
Well, if you look, it was my impression that you'd spent a lot of time here.
Yeah. I'm just a backup.
Lee, nobody can appreciate what you've been through. And if you really feel you can't take this on, you know, that's your right.
That's the trailer for the Oscar-nominated movie Manchester by the Sea. It's been described by our guest here in the first few minutes of the program as a dark movie. I think our previous conversation with him, he mentioned how dark Manchester by the Sea this movie proved to be. Why is it Oscar nominated? What is it, a story about grief? Is it the kind of grief that Christians are commended for, a grief that has a hope in the resurrection, or is it some other kind of grief? Greetings, welcome to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, the 23rd of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be reviewing the Oscar-nominated movie, Manchester by the Sea, with Pastor Ted Giese. A little bit later, Terry Mattingly will join us from GetReligion.org. There's a Washington Post story about a Florida pastor. Well, it's really about a Florida pastor's Facebook post. It's an experience that he had at a President Trump rally involving the word demonic. Does the Washington Post get it right? Is it a misleading lead? Is it a misleading headline that you're reading there? We'll talk about that with Terry Mattingly. Dr. Mark Burkholz will join us after that. The church remembers Matthias the Apostle. He's added in the book of Acts, the very first chapter, to take the place of Judas. The church remembers him on the 24th of February. We'll remember him today. And then Ashley McGuire will join us to talk about President Trump rescinding the rules on bathrooms for transgender students. She's written that book, Sex Scandal, The Drive to Abolish Male and Female. Joining us to talk about the Oscar-nominated movie Manchester by the Sea, Pastor Ted Giese. He's a regular guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
This movie, Manchester by the Sea, came up in a conversation recently with you. We were talking about a different movie, and you said it was a really dark movie. What do you mean by that, dark movie?
It's kind of really a very intense, gut-wrenching film. It's dark in the sense that it's dealing with grief and loss and death, and it's doing it in a way that is kind of rare for these kinds of films. It's doing it in a way where it also addresses past grief and loss that now is brought back to the surface in a new kind of scenario. So the lead character in the film, this is played by Casey Affleck. He plays a fellow named Lee Chandler. And Lee Chandler, his brother, which is the occasion of the film, his brother dies. So Joe Chandler dies, and now Lee Chandler has to come back to the town that he'd left behind, and the town is Manchester by the Sea. That's the name of the town. And he has to come back to town because of his brother's death, help with the funeral, and then in the course of it discovers that he has now been made by virtue of his brother's death, he is now the legal guardian of his 16-year-old nephew. And that's played by Lucas Hedges. He's kind of a new actor. This is his first role. And that all seems kind of a normal thing, that could happen to anyone. But the additional element that that plunges the film deeper into being a more dark film in terms of dealing with just the wide breadth of what grief and loss can be like for people, is the fact that Casey Affleck's character of Lee Chandler, he himself is still experiencing daily grief in his life because he had some children in a marriage with a lady played by Michelle Williams, and those children died in a fire in the house. And he does not think that he is an appropriate choice for being the legal guardian of anyone. And he's very surprised that his brother has now made him legal guardian of his nephew. And he's dealing with his own issues, plus the current issues, plus his nephew's issues, and being in a town where people know about his own personal tragedy.
You say that a lot of the movies that are nominated for the Oscars this time around have location as kind of a character. La La Land is one of those, where L.A. is a character in the movie, or at least very much a big factor. They're rooted in location. Is the same true here for Manchester by the Sea?
Yeah, we were talking about Hell or High Water. Again, that's set in Northwest Texas. So that's one of those ones where the location is a big part of it. When you watch Manchester by the Sea, because the film is named after this town and it's shot in this town, the town itself takes on that whole... It's like a character in the movie. And it's also kind of almost like an antagonistic character in the movie because it's the location of this tragedy from Lee Chandler's own past. But you get the iconic images of the fishing village and, you know, even the family. Joe Chandler has a fishing boat that now belongs to his son. So you get scenes of them out fishing on the fishing boat. You get the harbor. You get just everything that you kind of can imagine from Massachusetts, like that whole kind of area. And, you know, there's that kind of small town Massachusetts kind of part of the film itself. It's a strong, strong part of the film. And all of the accents and everything from the people that live in the place.
Talk about the nature of Chandler's grief in this film.
I guess it kind of comes out in a bunch of different ways. It all kind of unfolds. So if you haven't seen it at all, I'm sorry, I kind of spoiled a little bit of it, in that when you sit down in the theater not knowing what's about to happen, you don't know exactly what the thing is that happened in his past until it finally gets revealed. But what you do find from the very beginning is how he deals with it. So this occasioned the breakup of his marriage, the death of their children in the fire, in the house fire. You discover that it was out of negligence that the fire happened. He was not criminally responsible, but he certainly feels very responsible for the death of his children. So he eschews any advances of any women around him that might want to pursue a relationship with him. Because let's say he said yes, and he went out for drinks, or he went to a movie, or he went for dinner with somebody, then that could lead to another date. That could lead to, engagement and marriage and children. And he does not think, he has judged himself that he is not a person who should have any more children. And you see that kind of be a part of his grief. And of course, by the virtue of this, he becomes very... He's a very standoffish person. He's very short with people. And then in addition to that, it has a bit of a trigger. Like he's trigger happy when it comes to the idea of wanting to be punished. So he'll be in a bar or something and he'll instigate a bar fight just so that he can be beat up by somebody. Like, and that person doesn't know why they're beating him up. They think it's because of some stupid thing that was said in a bar, but he's being beat up because he wants to be punished for the death of his children.
So this is kind of the classic grieving without hope.
It really is. And I think that there's a peculiar thing that happens, and I mentioned it in the review. There's a spot in the movie where the son now, Patrick, who is without his father and now has his uncle as his guardian, has an opportunity to perhaps get to know his estranged mother better. And his estranged mother, played by Gretchen Mol, is in a relationship. I think she's now married to a man played by Matthew Broderick, who's it's kind of strange all of a sudden to have him show up partway through the movie. But he's referred to as being very Christian by Patrick, the son of the of his now dead father. And Lee Chandler says to Patrick, you are aware that we're Roman Catholic and that we're Christians. Like, they have this conversation, right? Like, you know, like, that is Christian too, by the way, which it's an interesting and good conversation that occurs in the course of the dialogue of the film and their relationship to each other. But what it also draws to attention is yes, there is a funeral, and yes, they've talked to a priest, and yes, they've arranged some of these things that Christians do when a family member dies and they are Christians. But the trouble is that they are not shown in any other way turning to Christ, the object of their faith, for any comfort. So the comfort that they could possibly have is found in other places. So the teenage son now, he just works on his band and trying to, you know, have sex with his two girlfriends that he's trying to work at the same time. That's the kind of thing he's doing. And then, of course, his uncle, now the guardian, he is, his comfort is in self-punishment, which is no comfort at all. And both of them would greatly be impacted towards the good if they simply turn to the object of their faith, Christ Jesus. So as a pastor watching the movie, and probably as a lot of Christians watching the movie would think, you know, boy, they could have a lot of comfort if that in the midst of their grief, they remembered Christ and they remembered how Christ remembers them. But yes, in the sense that they are not engaged in that, they are not clinging to that in any sort of way, in the most positive of ways, in that sense, it becomes a hopeless kind of a situation for them because they simply are not availing themselves of the comfort that is theirs in virtue of them being Christians.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing the Oscar-nominated movie Manchester by the Sea on this Thursday afternoon, February the 23rd. So it sounds like the Christian comfort is there in the movie. It's just simply ignored by the main character in the movie. We'll talk about that after this. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com. The new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Dr. Anthony Eslin will be speaking on the topic of imagination and education at the second annual Wittenberg Academy Family Retreat, which will be held at Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa on April 27th through the 29th, 2017. Join us and be immersed in God's Word, thoughtful discussions, and family fun. For more information or to register, visit www.wittenbergacademy.org and click on the registration tab.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing the Oscar-nominated movie, Manchester by the Sea. Before the break, Ted, you were talking about how there is the comfort that is there in this movie. And it sounds like what you're saying is, if you're watching objectively, you will see at least hints of the Christian comfort in the face of death. It's present there, but it seems to be ignored by the main character.
It's kind of interesting. Like when we talked about Fences, I talked about there's this moment where Denzel Washington's character is confessing to Viola Davis's character about infidelity. And in that scene in the kitchen, this back and forth is happening and the camera is going back and forth between the two characters in the movie Fences. And Jesus is on a picture above one person's shoulder and Jesus is on a picture above the other person's shoulder and it's back and forth. And you start to think about Jesus in the midst of this confession that's happening and how poor a confession it is and everything else. In this movie, there's less of that. There's less, you don't see them take a moment to pray. You don't see them, there's no shots where it kind of like it focuses on a crucifix in a room or a cross in a room, or you know, there's no Bible passages being quoted or anything like that. Some of the low-hanging fruit that you might expect that would put it into a bigger Christian context, that stuff's not there. The only spot where you see something similar to that is when Patrick goes to his estranged mother's house, and in the living room, well, the dining room or wherever, there's a picture of Jesus on the wall, but it's a very Southern Baptist kind of evangelical style picture of him in the water, sort of like a baptism sort of scene. But that is kind of looked at in derision, like Patrick just kind of, he sees that as being not that much, I guess, you know, and he's kind of looking down on Christians in general. And it's his uncle then who says, well, you know, we are Christians. But you don't see a lot of the evidence of that in other places. And like I said, yes, there's a funeral and yes, they go talk to the priest. But the general things that you might see that would clue people in to them being in a Christian milieu, that stuff is kind of not there, if that helps to answer the question.
So without giving too much away, do we simply travel this road of grief with the character, or is there any kind of resolution?
I think that this is where it's quite true to life. While the movie doesn't take place in a two-hour span of real-time cinema verite kind of style filmmaking, in 2 hours' time, even if it's showing you a couple months in a person's life, the resolutions that you might expect to see are not going to be there anyways. So this is where it's kind of true to life. Like, grief and loss like this is something that goes on for decades. And it may be like a submarine, it may be just under the surface and then it comes up. And I think we see that. So yes, we travel with them in their grief as they're trying to muddle through it and figure out what's going on. The emotions are very raw. There are, like, Michelle Williams has some superb scenes of acting. Casey Affleck's acting is just very, very good in this. There's a lot of subtlety to it. I mean, he has moments where he flips out, but there's so much of it where the brokenness of this guy and the level of grief that he's going through is such a part of the character. It really is a really well-crafted movie when it comes to that. So resolutions, I guess the only resolution that, well, I don't want to give away the last bit of the film, so I'll leave that alone. But I felt like it was a more realistic depiction of grief than you normally find in films.
What is it nominated for?
It's nominated for Best Picture, and it's also nominated for Best Director for Kenneth Lonergan, Best Actor, Casey Affleck, Supporting Actor, Lucas Hedrick, Hedges, rather, and the supporting actress, Michelle Williams, and then also original screenplay by Kenneth Lonergan also. So, and it's a well-crafted film. I think as a Christian viewer, you simply want to see more Christ in it. I think that would be the thing that we would want to see. But I think that there is a realistic element to it, that there are a lot of people, even Christians, who just simply do not have enough Christ in their life in terms of the moments of tragedy that they're dealing with, or the long-term suffering and grief that they're in, that they are at a depleted amount of Jesus in terms of how they're interacting with their faith.
So, do you think that it's going to garner any of these? That's a pretty wide spectrum of nominations for Oscars. If you were handing out the Oscars, how would they be distributed in the case of Manchester by the Sea?
I think that, like, I have not seen Moonlight and I have not seen Hidden Figures, but of the movies that I've seen that are in this category, I think this is the best of the films. So I would be perfectly happy seeing it win Best Picture. I don't think that it will. I think that it's not likely to win in the category. Casey Affleck or Michelle Williams for either actor or supporting actress, either one would be perfectly legitimate wins. I would like to see Michelle Williams win for it. It's just an amazing, like, her scenes in it are just great. And the screenplay is very good, but again, I don't think that it'll win for screenplay. I could be wrong, but a couple weeks ago you'd said, you know, like, there's 9 movies in this. I think we were talking about Hell or High Water, you know, and I said, I don't know if it really should be in this category at all. And then you said, well, what else might be in there? And I blanked. I couldn't think of anything. But in retrospect, I've thought about it. And if the 10th spot in the Best Picture category, if it was going to be filled, or if there was going to be some film in there other than Hell or High Water to be in there, I would say Hail Caesar, Silence by Martin Scorsese, or Sully, which we had previously also reviewed, by Clint Eastwood. Those movies are all wonderful movies, and they could be right alongside a movie like Manchester by the Sea.
This is a movie that's going to be for an audience that, this isn't a date night movie necessarily. This isn't a popcorn movie, is it?
Oh, gee whiz. No, I this is a very heavy movie. In fact, I think that some people, and this is where, you know, our original talking about this, talking about it being dark, I think this is where even I knew what it was about, and I was like, I don't know if I really want to see this. But in the midst of seeing it, I really appreciated it. You can't really say enjoyed it, but I really appreciated it. I would say that anybody who is freshly in the midst of grief, this might just be too much for them. This is a pastoral concern. You will be a wreck if that's the case. If you've been dealing with grief for a long time, you know, this may be something worth watching. Of course, when you watch it, then think about your actual real relationship with Christ. You know, that would be a very important thing. To walk away from it and not think about that would be a real shame. But yeah, this is not a popcorn movie. Any, like, person who's lost a child due to a tragic accident or anything like that, this is going to be really, really hard to watch. Now, again, depending on the individual, it may be extraordinarily cathartic and be a positive experience in the long run. But it's not light movie going, and it's not even just your regular dramatic film kind of stuff. Like, it's deeper than that. It's more raw than that.
You can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of Manchester by the Sea at our website, issuesetc.org. Click a listen on demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
When we come back, you might have seen the Washington Post story about a pastor who went to a President Trump rally and felt the palpable demonic presence. Now, did the Washington Post get that story right? What was the pastor talking about? We'll answer those questions with Terry Mattingly right after this.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt, and the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Throughout the history of the United States, we as a country have enjoyed our catchphrases from give me liberty or give me death to today's classic, it is what it is. TV commercials have added such classics as where's the beef to eat fresh. Here at St. Mark Lutheran Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, we do not resort to catchphrases. Here we are about growing God's family by preaching God's word, by administering the sacraments, and building up God's people. So the next time you find yourself in central Oklahoma on a Sunday morning, come join the friendly folks at St. Mark in Edmond. You'll be glad you did. This is most certainly true.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.